بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted someone to be with him that doesn't have an iota of pride in his heart. Sahaba Ikram had thought about it, and the only one that fitted the description was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Now, in the working of Allah Ta'ala, there is a relationship. Things don't happen without a relationship. There is something, some connection. Musa alayhi salam wanted to know the mystery of things, how things happen. So Allah Ta'ala asked him that you wait at a certain water trough, but just concede yourself. Nobody must get to know that you are here. Imam Ghazali Sahib, he reports this incident. So Musa alayhi salam is waiting there, and just then he sees a young, nice looking horseman, and he helps himself, water, he's an animal, and then he leaves. Just as he left, so he saw, he left and traveled some miles, he realized that that pouch where he had all the gold, that he forgot at the water trough. So he came racing back. When he came here, then he saw a slave. He saw the slave and he asked him for the pouch. When he asked him for the pouch, he said, "I don't know anything about it." So he beheaded him in that anger. In the meanwhile, someone had come before him and saw that pouch of gold, and he had taken it away. Unfortunately, after that person who had taken it away, this slave had come in. Now, this slave was beheaded. Musa al-Salam is seeing all this and is really bewildered. Who stole and who got beheaded and what is the whole story like? But generally, in the working of Allah Ta'ala, there is some relationship. Then it was told to Musa alayhi salam that you see, the person that took that wealth away, he was the rightful owner of that wealth. There was a problem in the estate and someone was cheated, his right wasn't given to him. And so this person comes to the water trough and he leaves it, that person that was the eligible person, he took it away. And this slave that was beheaded, he beheaded that horseman's father. He had beheaded his father, so he got killed, obviously. So you see the relationship. So there is a relationship. Sometimes we don't understand it, we cannot see the relationship, but there is some relationship. Sometimes history says it, sometimes experience says it, all right, it happened, this happened, and then it continued, and so forth, and so on. And then it happens, then you realize, acha, I did this, and this was the consequence of my doing. So, in the plan of Allah Ta'ala, there is no such a thing like, there's no justice, and things that is happening, no, there is a plan. And that plan is fulfilled. So, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he is the one that is fitting this portfolio, that no pride in his heart. Now look at the Battle of Badr. And at the Battle of Badr, it is about Abu Jahl, right? So there were two youngsters, Mu'awwaz and Ghalib ibn Mu'adh, Ibn Amr ibn Jamu, that had incapacitated Abu Jahl. So he wasn't yet dead, he was incapacitated. So now, then comes Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, when he comes in, he saw Abu Jahl and incapacitated. He can't move now. Still alive, can still talk and still register what's going on. The pride of Abu Jahl had not yet left him. Now, see this, some of the statements that he makes. أَغَيْرَ أَكَّارٍ قَتَلَنِي. He's about dying, the man. But he says, hey, these farmers, they came and killed me. Someone else, you know, some big horseman, strong, bold, he should have killed me. What this farmer, he's come and killing me. غَيْرَ أَكَّارٍ قَتَلَنِي. Then again he says, you tell your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that my hatred for him is even more severe today than in the past. I hate him even more now than in the past. Now, therefore, he is called the Fir'aun of this Ummah, and he is worse than the Fir'aun of Bani Israel, because that Fir'aun, he at least at the time of death, أَطْرَقَهُ الْغَرَقْ, he said, آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيل. He somehow he said Iman, though that Iman wasn't accepted, but he humbled himself at that point. Here, at that crucial point, here also he doesn't humble himself. He says, I hate him even more than I hated him in the past. Then he says, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the third thing he says, the third statement he says, that, see, when you're killing me, when you're beheading me, then you must behead me from the very bottom of the neck, not from the top of the neck, from the very bottom of the neck. Because now, it used to be in those days that when people are beheaded, then the heads are paraded, you see, all right, kill this person and that person and so on. So when you're going to be chopping off my head from the bottom, then my head will stand out. My head will stand out amongst other heads. Kaise bewakuf bichara. Right. So, can you see the pride in the three statements of Abu Jahl, the pride. So, now the one that had the blessing to kill the proudest person was the one that had no pride. See? غَيْ مَكَانَ فِي قَلْبِي Zarru kibrin, misqalu zarrati min kibrin. Ma kana fi qalbi misqalu zarrati min kibrin. Absolutely no pride, and he had the opportunity of killing the proudest person. Right. See the relationship. The other relationship that comes to mind, right? That Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he was an embodiment of ilm. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam endorsed him. What Ibn Mas'ud says for my ummah, then I endorse it as well. Whatever statement he makes for my ummah, then I endorse it. So he was an embodiment of ilm. And Abu Jahl's actual name was Abu al-Hikm, right? But then he became Abu Jahl. So you see, Abu al-Ilm had to kill Abu al-Jahl. His embodiment of ilm, embodiment of ilm had to kill the embodiment of jahalat. There's a relationship. So in life, things are related. Sometimes the relationship is obvious, clear, you see it. And sometimes it takes time for you to see and understand the relationship. Now, this article is talking something about shaitan, etc., etc. So generally people get very much afraid of shaitan, and especially at the time of death, and kya karega, and what's going to happen. So, our Buzuhan didn't say that shaitan is not a thing to be afraid about, because shaitan doesn't do. Yes, he can make you do. Karne wala to tum ho gaye. The one that is going to do the wrong is yourself, not shaitan. But he will instigate. See, he will instigate. That's what he does. Like, you know, when there is an argument, so now you want to be standing out as the innocent person, whatever, so you won't get into the fight. But what you will do, you want them to fight, but you want to remain like the good person. Hey, but how could he do this, man? That person, he needs to be put in place, you know. So when this person says he needs to be put in place, that person got worked up. When he got worked up, he hit this person, right? So who hit? The instigator or the instigated? Instigated. So the one that instigated, he is pretty well, he's sitting there. Hey, see how these people are fighting. See how they're fighting. So he's sitting pretty well. He's not saying anything. He's got them to fight. You see. Now this job is normally, nowadays, I think from some time now, this job is the job of the media. So the media will hype something, someone against the other. Yeah, this person did this, that person did that. Media, politician, that's their work, to hype, to cause a strife, internal strife, how to make one person fight against the other. So they will be sitting pretty well, relaxing in the armchairs, but they'll get one to fight the other. And then they'll say, then pass comments, hey, but see, how they behave? How can they behave? How can Muslims, how can they behave like this? See, so how they... So Shaitan, he doesn't do the work. All he does is instigates. In Meerut, there was one cloth merchant. So this cloth merchant, someone comes to purchase some cloth, right? So he will package it, etc. All right, you want this cloth here? All right, this is the price. So if the person gave the cash, take the cloth and go. But if he says, "Main udhar mein leta hu," I'm taking it on credit, then he would keep the cloth back. He would say, see, get the story straight. See, now, it's me and my cloth, and you and your money, right? So we equaled. Me and my cloth, you and your money, right? If it's going to be the other way around, that you, your wealth, and my cloth against me, then you have one over me. You have one over me, right? Presently, the status quo is we are equal at the same level. You don't have any preference over me, and nor do I have a preference over you. So we are equal. So if the cloth is going to be with you, then your wealth is with you, you are with your wealth, and my cloth is with you. But now, the cloth is with me, I and my cloth. So we are equal, see? So the same is with Shaitan. Shaitan can't do you anything. Yes, he will use you against you. He will use you to disobey. He will use you, right? So you need to understand the position that he doesn't do it, but he instigates, he makes you do it. Now, in this instigation, what is to be done? You see, in this spurring up and this instigation of Shaitan, what's needed to be done? The Quran Sharif says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So those who believe properly, correctly, when the Quran speaks about believing, then believing properly, correctly. Otherwise, there are those people for whom Allah Pak says, مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْآخِرِ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And then, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They say we believe, but they are not, they don't have any belief. Though they say that we believe, but they don't have belief. So there is one class who just does lip service. They just show that they have iman, but really they have no iman. So those who have that real iman, right? Have real iman. What iman is? Tasdiqu jami'i ma ja'a bihi an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's iman. Tasdiqu jami'i ma ja'a bihi an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right. To believe in everything that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had brought, believe, right? To believe everything. To the extent, even to believe in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Even to believe in the Wahi, right? So, you will believe in the Wahi, you will believe in all that Nabi Sam had brought. Right? So all that Nabi Sam had brought, all that he's spoken to us about, mainly is related to the ghaib, to the unseen. We didn't see it, right? Did we see Allah Ta'ala? We see the Anbiya? Did we see Jannat and Jahannam? Did we see the Malaika? See? But we do believe, right? Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and even Wahi, do we see Wahi? We didn't see. But we see the athar of Wahi. If Wahi is a descending, we see, all right. Now it seems like Wahi is descending upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we didn't see Wahi. Similarly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a Rasul, then did we see him being appointed? We didn't see it. Right. So that means the Wahi is also an element of the ghaib. Right? It's also part of the ghaib because we didn't see that Wahi coming. Similarly, Nabi Sam's appointment to Nubuwwat, did we see it? So his Nubuwwat also is ghaib. That means virtually everything is the ghaib. Right? So we believe in the ghaib, though we didn't see it. So we believe in it. Why do we believe in it? Because Nabi Sam said it. Because he said it, and we believe in him. We trust him. On the virtue of our trust in him, we believe in the ghaib. Now you understand ghaib? You understand iman? On virtue of Nabi Sam claiming this, we trust him, and therefore we believe. Not based on our intelligence. Right? So iman requires us to believe in Nabi Sam because of us trusting Nabi Sam for his truth, that he said this, therefore it is like this. Right. Now, sometimes, just to digress a little bit, right? People create confusion, right? Therefore, when I see all this, then I generally advise that people that are coming up, ulama that are coming up, they must just speak on moti baate. Talk about 6 points. Don't talk about very discreet things, subtle, discreet, and very deep topics. Talk about things that are just on the surface, easy to understand. Because now, sometimes you're going to be talking about things that are very deep. Maybe you didn't understand it, or maybe you couldn't make the people understand. So one alim comes up now. He is new, and he doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the depth of understanding. He doesn't understand now what happens to the audience. So he says, "Kaun kehta hai ke Khuda Taala alimul ghaib? Who says that Allah Taala has the knowledge of the unseen? He doesn't have the knowledge of the unseen." That's an opening statement. Right. Now then, the opening statement is the claim, right? After the claim comes the proofing. You prove it, right? You substantiate. You made a claim, then you substantiate. You say, all right, this car belongs to me. So the court will ask then, all right, prove it. So first you made the claim, then you furnish the proof. So you said Allah Ta'ala is not the knowledge, not the knower of the ghaib, right? So now he asked to furnish proof. So he furnished the proof. He says, see, everything in this universe and beyond the universe is before Allah Ta'ala. Is it hidden from Allah Ta'ala or is it before him? So is it ghaib from Allah Ta'ala or is it zahir to Allah Ta'ala? Ji? So phir alimul ghaib kaha rahe? Understood? So it's not concealed from me, it's open to him. When it's open to him, then can you say Alimul Ghaib? See confusion. You understood the whole, how he gave it. Now he created a confusion. Because the whole world is saying Allah is Alimul Ghaib. Alimul Ghaib wa Shahada, the Quran Sharif is saying. So now there's a need to explain this. So when he said Alimul Ghaib, what he means, that in respect to us, he is Alimul Ghaib. Respect to ourselves, then he knows the things that are clearly visible and the things that are not visible to us. Understand? Things that are visible to us, and things that are not visible to us. He knows it all. Now, what do you mean by ghaib then? What do you mean by ghaib? Because, right, we say ghaib is something hidden, right? Right? You may have something that you know of and nobody else knows of, right? For example, you have an attar, right? And it's in your right pocket, for example. You know about it. Anybody else knows about it. So can you still say that's ghaib? If it's ghaib, then you are alimul ghaib, then you know about it, but nobody else knows about it. So what's the meaning of ghaib? Ghaib means that knowledge that is not perceived by the senses and by the human brain. Understand? That information that is not perceivable by the senses or by the human intellect, that's called ghaib. So, malaika, you talk of malaika, can malaika be perceived to your intellect, to your senses? Can you? You got senses, right? Eyes, tongue, ears, nose, right? Can you perceive the presence of malaika through your eyes, through your ears? You can't. Through your intellect, so that's ghaib. Right? You talk of Jannat and Jahannam, right? Can you perceive these things with your intellect or with your senses? Can you perceive? Gee? Can anybody perceive? Can't. Right? So ghaib is that which is not perceivable through the senses or through the intellect. Right? Should. Is it, am I talking a little bit higher or at my level, in your level, our levels, level the plane is level, isn't it? Huh? Right. So sometimes it's nice to bring about these terms, right? Because what goes on nowadays is someone learns something, so then he puts across a riddle. He doesn't know he's putting across that riddle and it's confusing someone's iman. Now you got the whole picture, so now you know, alright, everything falling in place. Right? So I spoke about iman, I spoke about ghaib, right? And then what is the meaning of alimul ghaib, right? But now you may say, that what about kufr? What is the kufr then? I spoke about iman, what is iman? Then the opposite of iman is kufr. So kufr is takzibu shay'im. تَكْزِيبُ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. To reject any single fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had brought. Understand? Iman is to believe in all that he's brought. And kufr is to reject any single fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought. You got the picture now? See, iman and kufr. Ghaib, alimul ghaib. Right? The whole picture is clear now. Zain? Sure. I have to explain, you'll explain that. Inshallah. So it's at our level, inshallah. Alright. So I was explaining that shaitan is not a thing to be afraid about. Because it's not that he'll force the crime upon you. No. No, he just instigates. And he instigates and you do the wrong. See now, just for example, there's two people that are arguing, right? Well, say for example, you went home and your wife, as she's receiving you, and she just let you have it, right? She let you have it. Yeah, you're all messing it. Go etikaf and all that. Forget all, you know, you got a wife. So women, they got their own stories, they got their own stand, right? So now, she let you have it as you just entered the house. Now, shaitan, what he'll do, after your etikaf, now he wants to cripple you, he wants to smash you down. All what you achieve in 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, in one stroke, he wants to smash you down. So at that point, what he'll do, he'll instigate. See, what is bewakuf kahiki? No, I'm sitting in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and what nonsense is talking about? She knows what she's talking about. And who she's talking about? You know, I am so-and-so. I go and give bayans here. I'm such a popular person. And this stupid little thing here, and she's got a big tongue here. What she thinks of herself? Now, you got worked up. Now, Shaitan, made her say what he needed her to say. And he made you say after that what he wanted you to say. see this now, the match starts off. Yeah. Tune isakya, ha. Tune isabigardia. See the fight start off. There's one step after 1 month, and in one stroke, he broke it down. See that? So who used that foul language? Who used the derogatory terms? Uses it. All he did, he inserted, he instigated, he put those thoughts in your mind. How can she say this? He pressed the button of pride. He pressed your pride button. When he pressed your pride button, then your pride button just came up. It just flared up. When it flared up, then you just gave it. You went for the kill. She came for the kill and you went for the kill. So who won the race? Who won this match? Mr. Shaitan. So see, he uses you. He uses you for his ends. Now, after everything is said and done, you say, hey, but why could I just not keep quiet? If I just kept quiet, let this stupid thing say whatever she needs to say, and then I'll just rub my hand on her hand. Hey, so pretty you look, mashallah. Could you do that? You would have just ended that. Just one stroke. One stroke. Hey, so nice. What gems, what came out from you? If you just held on and subject yourself to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, you would have acted so beautifully, so nicely. The whole thing would have forgotten. She would have smiled. She'd laugh. Hey, what are you doing? You could have just forgotten. The whole thing you could have forgotten. But now that's bifadlillah. Kul bifadlillah. See, this etikaf, that's why they say, connect yourself. Connect yourself means see Allah Ta'ala and trust in Him. Not only see Him, but trust Him, rely on Him. Not only say, I made that ibadat, I made the zikr, I made the question. Bhai, ye sab khuda ta'ala ke fazal se hua. There is a kuch nahi hua. It's not you at all. It's just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So see Allah Ta'ala and trust Him. Because if Allah Ta'ala assigned you to yourself, would you have done anything? Nothing. Not a single thing you could have done. You could have done a single thing. Everything was achieved purely, entirely by the virtue of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So see Him and trust in Him. He likes it. Yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah likes that. But the moment your sight moves away from Allah Ta'ala to yourself or to anything else, then the help of Allah Ta'ala is also moving away. See, we'll talk about Uhud and the Sahaba Kiram moving away, right? Or we'll talk about Hunain and the trust shifting, right? But do we apply it to ourselves? We talk of Hunain and we talk about the trust transferred from Allah Ta'ala to their numbers. Don't we talk about that? And then they lost out for that some few moments, right? And when they came on again, the help of Allah came in again, right? But do we apply the same principle on us, ourselves? Do we apply that same principle? See, Allah likes this. That your nazar must be on me. Not that you discard. No, not that you must discard everything. You got a shop now. I trust in Allah, I discard everything. I got a super it, leave it out. I got so much money in the bank, so leave it out. No, that's not the meaning of tawakkul. So you adopt the means, but your trust is entirely on Allah Ta'ala. Now, in adopting the means, there are different situations that will come up. Right? Different situations will come up in adopting the means. For example, you are living a comfortable life, right? You got a work, or you got a shop, and everything is going on smoothly, right? You got time for zikr, tasbih, namaz, going out in jamaat, right? You're sitting in the khanqa, so you're doing everything, right? And you got a job, or you got a shop. So everything is, your life is smooth. So you got a job, and you're doing something for deen, right? So it's smooth. So now, one day, one morning, you mustn't get up and say, no, I'll leave the job, just go one way in jamaat only. That's wrong. Now that's not tawakkul. See, you're doing jamaat and you're doing a shop. So your life is getting balanced out nicely. Now you freak out and do something and then you expect that thing just to come. That's wrong. See? So you allowing shaitan now to interfere with you. So Allah Pak planned it out, alright, he will do this and he will do this and I will work out his lifestyle nicely for him. So when Allah Pak has worked out your lifestyle, you're doing your work, you've got time for Allah Ta'ala, you've got time for your other deeni activities, etc., then make shukr and continue. Now you don't look at that person there, that he's not doing any work, and only deeni work he's doing and Allah Pak is providing for him. So he's a different entity, you're a different entity. Allah Pak gave you a different package, gave him a different package. Now this package that he gave you, then you keep with that package. The day he gives you another package, say he gives you another package. Now he gave you a package, for example, say you were working, you had your business and your business was giving you 20,000 rand, right? Now Allah Pak, some estate came in, and in that estate you got one property. That property is giving you, say, 30,000 rand every month, right? Now you don't need to work. Now do you need to work? You got that, it's the same amount, right? That same amount, you're getting it in a different way. Now say, all right, I will now dedicate my time more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when everything is working out with that work, and to abandon that work, that's not right. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَلُومُ عَلَى الْعَجْزِ. This throwing thing aside, not doing laziness, right? Not doing anything, not adopting any means, Allah doesn't like that. There was a court case, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was presiding over the case. So, obviously, in a court appearance, so one person, the decision will be passed in favor of one person, isn't it? One person will lose, one person will win. So the decision was given in favor of one person. So the one that lost the case, he said, Hasbi Allah. Allah Pak is sufficient. So Nabi Sallam was upset. Now the word, is it right or wrong? Hasbi Allah, is it right or is it wrong? It's right. Now the question is, then why did Nabi Sallam get upset? So then he gave the reason for him getting disturbed. Inna Allah la yalumu alal adz. When you don't do anything, right, you're supposed to be preparing yourself, you're supposed to be working towards this, get all your ducks in the row, like, you know, they say, get all your ducks in the row, get all your arguments, everything in right. Right. Now you didn't make any arrangements, you didn't prepare yourself, and you lost the case. Now you're saying Hasbi Allah, now that's not right. You knew, for example, you are going out in Jamaat, for example, to Canada, right? And Canada now, the winters there, you see, winters, that place that you're going, is minus 30 degrees, right? And you went there and you had to be hospitalized, you got no warm clothing. Now you say, Hasbi Allah. Is that right? Not right. Why is not right? Because you have the Jamaat Satish told you that there is very cold. You prepare yourself and then you go. Right? You didn't make any preparation. You struck with a fever, with a cold, and you hospitalized. Now you saying, Hasbi Allah. Is that right? So, Inna Allah la yalumu alal adz. Allah doesn't like this. See, now, we don't understand this tawakkul. So, if He's given you a certain thing, then you stand by it. Right? So, this tawakkul will come in different ways. But the idea in tawakkul is your nazar, your sight must not shift from Allah Ta'ala to this person or to that thing or the other thing. But your eyes mustn't shift. He's giving you in a certain way, enjoy that. Now, then you want to look for something else and the third thing and the fourth thing. Now that's going to be interfering with your tawakkul. He gave you something, you're happy, comfortable, you, your wife and your children. Right? Then you want something else. And when you want something else, now you're begging from someone, borrowing from someone, living up, you know, beyond your means, right? Now this is going to be interfering with your tawakkul. Why it interfere with your tawakkul? Because you did something against the norm. Right? You did something against the norm, so it went against the tawakkul. When you went against the tawakkul, now you lost that special help, that help that you should come to you from Allah Ta'ala, that you lost it. And I think, where I lost out? You lost out here. See, Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those. So he says to the Sahabi, Alayka bil kis. when you are confronted with the situation, then use your brains. Simple translation, use your brains. Right? This court case required of me to make a proper preparation, prepare myself, then I must present myself well. Did I do all these things? I didn't do these things. I didn't prepare myself. I didn't present myself. I didn't make any mashwara, and now I'm coming here. Now the case is going against me. Now I'm saying, Hasbi Allah, that's not right. See? So you don't do things against the norm and then say, Hasbi Allah. Do according to the norm, and if something, do what is required according to the norm, and something happened for you, say, Alhamdulillah. Something didn't happen like you had envisaged, then you say, Hasbi Allah. Right. It's required of you that you travel at, say, below 140. Right? So, Alhamdulillah. Traveling, and there was an accident. You were careful, you weren't negligent, you weren't playing with the phone, and seeing something else, etc., etc. There was an accident, so you say, Hasbi Allah. Right? But now, you're driving at 350, and you're taking a 180 degree turn, that and the car somersault, and someone, all your passengers died. Now you say, Hasbi Allah is right. No. You're asking, it's self-inflicted problem. See that? It's self-inflicted. So that is not, it's not tawakkul. You misunderstood the tawakkul. So Allah Pak likes this person here who is protected against shaitan. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. It's two elements. To get freed from the clutches of shaitan, iman must be right. And I explained what was iman, right? Iman must be right. Must be true to Allah Ta'ala. In all what you're doing, be true to Allah Ta'ala. Have faith in Him. Believe Him. Right? If He said something, then believe in that. Then don't go against it. Right? If he says, for example, that you will be good to your family and I will give you barakat. You'll be good to your family and your folks, good to them. Right? So whatever good requires, right? Whatever good requires, then you being good accordingly. Say, now, good, what does it require? We say, being good. If the man is poor, so you say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? That's all. Does that good require that you just say Assalamu alaikum, give a smile and finish? Does it require that much? So we know, all know what good means. So be good to the person. What does it mean? Now the hadith is impressing upon being good and being good to your relatives. Don't sever, don't break away. Be good to them, be kind to them, be considerate to them. So when the person is broken down, now being good to him, what does it mean? Everybody will understand that, right? If he's in a state, if he's in agony and distress, be good to him. What does it mean? Console him, bring him up, make him feel comfortable, motivate him, put him up again. That's what it means, right? If he's in a happy occasion, right? In a very happy occasion. So compliment him. Now, the happy occasion. You got married, you got a son, and you show an indifferent attitude, you don't compliment him, no regards, nothing. Is that right? No, not right. When he's down, then you bring him up. If he's happy, then compliment him. See, this means good, right? That's on the lighter side. So, one person now, I won't say who he was and what his name and all that. So, in rapid succession, one child is born at the child is barely about 9 months and the next one came in. Now, when they realized that she is conceived, now, they got worried now. What the parents going to say? Mother-in-law, father-in-law, what are going to say? You're going to make a big noise. You're still babies here. You're not to bring up children. So he's scared. But in that fear, he came to me. You know, hey, I don't know. What my mother-in-law going to tell me? How's going to shout me? All that. You know, you must take precautions and all that. So I tell him, see, your mother-in-law shouts you, or your mother shouts you, whoever shouts you, what you do? See, just tell them, if you get the child is delivered, just pass it on to me. For 30 years I'm battling to get a child, I can't get a child. After 30 years, no children, right? So you just pass the child to me. I will take care for 8-9 years and pass it back to you. But the mother-in-law have to heard about this. I told him in a light way that if they make a noise, because they're feeling afraid now, who's going to take care of the child? Is that, whatever. So they just pass on to me. For 30 years, no children. I mean, after 30 years, no children now. Pass on to me. I will take care. The mother-in-law had a big laugh. The whole story is forgotten. See? So we don't look at the hand of Allah Ta'ala. In all what we're doing, we don't see the hand of Allah Ta'ala. And that's where we're losing out. Iman and tawakkul. Iman and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Your nazar is Allah Pak did it. That wealth keep, Allah Pak did it. You see, many times you see many a wealthy person, he just crashes. Many a professional person, and he's here, and he just crashes. Don't you see that? Happening all the time. He was here, and today he's here. He's here, and he's just crushed. One person came just now, big person, prominent person, and he's crushed. The whole family is in distress, literally in distress. The way he was, he just crashed. So, see, the nazar is in Allah Ta'ala. No matter where you are, who you are, but your sight mustn't shift away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the moment your sight shifted from Allah Ta'ala, that's the problem. Alright, say for example, I'm just talking on tawakkul, just elucidating it, right? Not of your doing, and your business just went down. Not of your doing. You look after business, you did everything what was supposed to be done. And then think just when. Now you say Hasbi Allah. Now you trust Allah Ta'ala. You were trusting Him and you're trusting Him now as well. You will not feel depressed now. Hey, what's going to happen now? Ab mera kya hoga? That means you didn't have the trust in Allah Ta'ala. You had the trust in your profession or in your business. Your nazar was in what? In your business or your profession. So that's what Allah doesn't like. You will take up a profession, you will start off a business. Right? For the years it's giving a good service, alhamdulillah, Allah is blessing me. But for some reason Allah closed it down, then to alhamdulillah, one has gone, Allah is not gone, Allah is watching, he's not blind, na'uzubillah, and he's not gone, he's still around, he's still with his power, his might, his glory, his love, he's around. Right? And na'uzubillah, he's not blind, he's watching. So if something is gone, Allah will give me something else. This is gone, something else will start off. How he'll do it, he knows in his time, in his way, he will do it. So my nazar is not on the shop, it is in Allah Ta'ala. This thing happened, not for my doing. It happened, Allah willed it, so Allah will create another opening for me. So your nazar is in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There's 2-3 incidents that has come to my mind. You know, Nasir, he used to make atikaf here. Now. So, some years ago, I think about maybe 15, 16 years ago, he used to be making khidmat for Mawla Umar Jisab, rahmatullah alayhi. He liked to do khidmat. You know. So he was a personal attendant, going to dress the bandage, all that. So, one day of the blues, he just phoned me and he says, I'm so happy today. I got another ailing person, some Ahmad bhai, and I volunteered to do his khidmat. And he's just around the block. I just go there, do his khidmat, whatever. Man is ailing, bedridden, can't move. So I do the khidmat. Right. That phone just finished. And then he phoned me at night. Not night, in the afternoon. He's crying. Can I say, I heard Mawla Umar Jisab has passed away in India. So I told him, see, it's an occasion to be gloomy and to be happy. Gloomy because we lost a great alim, a great buzur, a great source of inspiration for the whole of South Africa, right? So it was a great source of inspiration. But to be happy also, because your niyat was to make khidmat, right? So you're also feeling affected that I can't offer this khidmat. So before that news arrived, Allah Pak created another avenue for you getting this sawab. That was Mulana Abdul Haq. This is Ahmad Bai. But by and by, see, from one by to the other by. How Allah Pak works it out. That you wanted to do khidmat, so Allah Ta'ala created an opportunity for you. So your nazar is in Allah Ta'ala. He will do it. Keep the niyat right, keep the nazar right, and in time, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. So your karne wali zaat, Allah Ta'ala ki hai. So you don't turn your sight from him. This is where we go off. Do things that is not according to the norm, not within our reach. Right? We do all these things here. And then, khuda ki laathi aati hai, that is where this thing came from now. How did it happen? What happened? One, two, instead, I'm just telling you, you know the nazar of, nazar must be on Allah Ta'ala. No, I remember I was about maybe 11 years of age, and our family tradition was that you have to work in the shop. Must work. Sunday, Saturday, must work. Sometimes they in the mood, they give you a chance, maybe Sunday, one or Sunday in a month or two Sundays, they give off, but you must work. So that was a family tradition. As a little boy, about 8, I could handle the whole one area of the shop. I could handle it at 8 years of age. Change and everything, last thing. Wholesale, retail, everything I could handle it. But that was the style those days, right? Everybody could do it. Not only myself, everybody could do it at that time. Now you ask a child, 200 rand, give change, you have to use a computer. 200 rand, 76. So that was in the mind that time, all right? That article is 76, all right, how much, what chain must give it to him? Straight away, give it to him. On that turn, you'll give him, right? So now, I have to be in the 10, 11 years of age, and it's a December holiday season, right? And it's just after the 26th, 27th. So 27th, and then the New Year's, so the rush is over, right? So the rush is now between the 25th till the 1st. So the rush, after the rush period, then you go have a holiday, because everything is down now. So they give you 1 week, you can go have a holiday. Right? At that time, all the blacks are going to the farms, talking about the 60s, you know. They go to the farms, and the smile and that happiness on their face, you can just see it, you know. They say, if I remember the word, gutuka, they used to say, I don't know Zulu, gutuka, they're going to the farm, you know, they're going to rest. So now, I'm impassionate about it. All the family, youngsters my size, 10, 11, 12 years of age, they're going to a family home. Somewhere near Mkumaz had a small holding farm. So they're all going there. Or sab ja rahe aur hum reh gaye. So I'm small now, 12 years of age. The whole crowd is going and I'm left. Because it was my turn. At a Saturday, it's my turn. So I have to be there till 2 o'clock, right? Only after 2 o'clock you're getting leave. Alright, no mind. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Whatever. Even a stupid thing like a holiday, but trust in Allah Ta'ala. So I told the person that you're working with, just drop me. Just drop me at Aman Sim Toti and you carry on. You take your turn, carry on. Leave me. Now, that thing is in the Bundus, that place there is right in the farm. It's such so deep in the farm that you have to cross 7 rivers and then you reach up there. Now, I'm talking at about 2 o'clock. So he's going to drop me at that place at about 3 o'clock. I don't know what's going to happen. Just trust in Allah Ta'ala and carry on. And now see the trust of Allah Ta'ala and what he does. Right. So I got my holiday bag or the clothing, whatever I needed. Got that in one hand. And I'm on that road, main road. Allah Pak's doing, I just clambed over that hill. And the truck that was taking the other boys, that thing got stuck. Nothing got stuck. I climbed on the truck, right? I think virtually 10 minutes, nothing got right again. So, don't you see the hand of Allah Ta'ala? I ask you, in this simple things, right? But isn't Allah Ta'ala with you? In simple things, so in complicated things also, He'll be with you. But just trust in Him, believe in Him, trust in Him. करने वाले जात मैं हूं, आई विल डू इट फॉर यू, डोंट पुट योर ट्रस्ट योर सेल्फ, आई विल डू इट, माई ब्रेन्स, माई इंटेलिजेंस, माई आईक्यू, एंड आई कैन डू इट, आई कैन मेक थिंग्स हैपन, बट दिस अल्लाह डजंट लाइक, यू नो मी, आई विल मेक इट हैपन, आई विल मेक दिस बिजनेस थिंग, दिस थिंग लाइक दिस इज डाउन, आई विल मेक इट, आई टर्न इट अराउंड, दैट अल्लाह डजंट लाइक. Maybe sometimes you see figures. Sometimes you see figures. But had Khuda ki laathi aayi to, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْتَ عَذَابٍ. سَوْتَ عَذَابٍ, that whip, scourge. So it comes, but it comes at a time that you least expect. So we're talking of shaitan and how to overcome. إنما ليس إنه ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. إنه ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. He doesn't have any control. Person's iman is right. His nazar is in Allah Ta'ala. So he doesn't have, shaitan doesn't have a control of you. إنما سلطانه على الذين يتولونه والذين هم به مشركون. Right. His control is over those people that befriend him. What? See that the ayat comes complete now. That whole message is complete. Sultanu ala alladhin yatawallawnahu. Those that befriend him, take him as a friend. So he has a control over them. See that? Now, we all know what is the meaning of being the friend of shaitan. Innahu laysa lahu sultan alladhin amanu wa ala rabbin. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. See, you become shaitan's friend, now he's got a control over you. Now, we all know what it means to become shaitan's friend, right? A few days ago, they read the talim, that one person saw shaitan, so he asked shaitan, you know, how to get close to you, man? You know, how to get close to you? See, she doesn't know. Hey, but what? You don't need this thing here. But why are you asking this type of a question? That how to get? No, I just have a liking for you, man. Just have a liking for you. But just show me how to come, how to get close to you. So he said two things. Namaz just neglected. Waqt par, ghair waqt par, any time just go and neglect your namaz. Postpone it, neglect it, read it, don't read it, just neglect your namaz. And number two is don't take care of your tongue, especially your promises, your oaths. Just don't be worried about the use of your tongue. Now you have to say tongue and fingers. Isn't it? Don't you have to say that? Because the fingers are doing the work of the tongue. So, two things. Don't worry about your namaz, neglect your namaz. And number two is, don't be careful about the use of the tongue. But namaz and the tongue, especially your oaths, commitments, promises, contracts, etc. All these are important things. Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says, contracts are of two types, right? A contract or a deal is like of two types, right? One is the contract that you have with your suppliers and merchants, right? It's a contract. So he's supplying, you purchasing, right? It's carrying on. Right? And especially if it's a merchant that is very, very independent. He's very independent, then how do you work with him? Like say, for example, Coral Brick. How do you work with him? Or Hewlett Sugar, how do you work with him? Do you dilly-dally? Do you play around with him? Hey, I don't need your business. I got a whole of South Africa. They must have me at breakfast. Hugh's got an attitude. See, the whole South Africa needs me in the breakfast. They'll need me on the lunch. They'll need me in supper. They'll need me all the time. So he's got an attitude. So what's your relationship with that type of a contract? Right? That's one contract. The other contract is between you and your worker, and more especially when it's a little bit of a menial worker. One is you contracted. See, it's an accountant, right? That's working for you. So you have a different type of a relationship. But if it is someone that is doing a little bit of a menial type of work, right? So I ask you now, both have contracted themselves to you. Whether it is the supplier or this worker, both of them have contracted themselves to you. Right? What's the difference? The difference is, his contract is an exchange of some commodity, right? Sugar or the bricks. His contract is an exchange of a commodity. This menial worker, his contract is an exchange of some services, isn't it? But both are contracts. This is a contract, that is a contract. But why is your attitude different towards him and different towards him? Isn't that a valid point? Both are contracted to you. When they're both contracted to you, your attitude towards him is of respect, love, respect. You must look after this person. And the person that is doing some menial work, how is your relationship with him? Do you show the same concern, fikr, respect, love? Do you show that? So what's the reason? That means you're not fair. Not fair. So Allah Pak is saying, Innama Sultanu ala alladhina yatawallun. You want Shaitan to become your friend, right? Then do this type of things. Discrepancy, right? Inconsistent. This side you've got a different plan, this side you've got a different plan. That means you're not a straight person. So you are true in your contracts when it is to your advantage. But it's not to your advantage, you show an attitude. Hey, you want the job, take it. Don't want it, just move. You want to work, these are conditions. Otherwise, just pack up and move. See the attitude that you have. Attitude there is different, attitude here is different. So this is where Allah Pak is warning you. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. So Shaitan's control is over those people who befriend him. Right? Who befriend him. See, when you are right, you are good, then Allah makes the world good towards you. They love you and they will teach you, they will guide you, they will correct you, they will show you, all right, do this, uncle, do this, don't do this. They'll correct you. Provided you are good. You turn around, then the world will turn around. But you've been good towards them, Allah Ta'ala will turn their hearts with goodness towards you. They will teach you, they will guide you, they will show you things, do this, don't do this, how you should work, how shouldn't you work, right? So that ideas will come through your subordinates, to the people that are lower than you. But because of your goodness, you've been kind, so Allah Pak will lead you. But then you began to show attitude, you are rude, you're impolite, you're aggressive, you're squeezing people, then the same thing will happen this side. Yeah, they will begin to squeeze you. You will get a wrong, raw deal. You'll have problems in your wife, in your children, in your home. All type of complications will come around. So just be good. Whether it's the bosses and the suppliers, whether it's your workers, both are contracts. You need both. Allah wants you to be good with them. That's why I suggest to my friends, you contracted, right? See, I am supposed to do a work for you, a piece of work for you. So let me be the winner always. Then I will come in and I will, leave the business 5 minutes more, 5 minutes after the scheduled time. I'm supposed to be leaving, say, at 2 o'clock, so I'll leave at 2:05. Right? Because I must be the winner. I must be the winner. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, Zin warjah. When you are weighing something, then weigh and just tip the scale. Give a little bit more than what you're supposed to be giving. So zin warjah doesn't only mean in scaling and weighing. It means in any contract, then do a little bit more than what you're supposed to be doing. So you're supposed to be doing till 8 hours, so you gave 8 hours plus 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So are you the winner or not? But you came sharp at 8 o'clock and you left. Now, there could be a problem. Maybe you missed out here. Maybe you neglected something. You didn't do it like how you're supposed to be doing. So that's going to linger in your mind. And that's going to upset, your whole rosy is going to get affected. But if you did something a little bit more, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right? But now, Islam is not one-sided. It's not only for the worker, the boss also, right? So if you're going to be good, you're going to be righteous, and you're going to be careful, then that boss also will be careful. Now, say, I suppose to pay you, 1,000 rand. No, I might take another 200 rands. He also, his heart will be turned with goodness towards you. So he will also begin to see you favorably. So you looked at him favorably, then he will also see you favorably. You see? Zin warja. Zin warja. Now, in all this, you look at Allah Ta'ala and work. Don't say, they'll take advantage over me and they'll do this. But you're going to think like that, it's going to happen like that. You're going to begin to think like that, then perhaps things may work out like that. You do what you're supposed to be doing. The Islamic teaching is that I must fulfill my obligations. I mustn't wait for you to fulfill obligations. I must fulfill my obligations. Now, I'm mad over it that you're not fulfilling your obligations. So I'm going to shout you and make a big noise, pull the roof down. So my duty is to see and ensure that I'm fulfilling obligations bil ma'ruf, in a respectable way, in a good way, and I am fulfilling obligations. You will do it in your own time, but I must do it, and I must do it correctly. Then in time, in short time, it will happen that Allah Ta'ala will turn that person's heart. If it's not immediate, after some time, Allah Ta'ala will turn his heart towards you. And if it is that his heart is not turned towards you, Allah Ta'ala will give you something better. But you be good, Allah Ta'ala will give you something better. So your nazar in all this is where? On Allah Ta'ala. Now that's called tawakkul. You do it and you respect the command of Allah that I must do it full. So I did it full. Right? I was supposed to be doing it. Right? So either Allah Ta'ala will turn his heart with favor towards you, and if that person's heart is not turned with favor, then Allah Ta'ala will give you a better replacement, something else will give you. Because it's not that Allah Ta'ala is dependent on one avenue to provide you. You have billions of avenues. This one here, that one. Billions of avenues to provide. One is closed, second one, third one. Something comes up. Doesn't it happen all the time? Only see the hand of Allah Ta'ala all the time. So if you want to break up from shaitan, one is for the person that wants to break up, and one is the one that befriends. So how you befriend shaitan? To take a liking for him. And I showed just now, one of the ways that shaitan takes a liking for you. He takes a liking for you, you befriend him. And this buzurg has short seen shaitan tells him, namaz, just neglect it. Tongue, just randomly, just use it. Just anyhow, wherever, however you commitment, no commitment, promise, no promise, obligation, just use it, wild. You become shaitan's first class friend. So this person told shaitan after that, I make you a witness. Shaitan doesn't like you to make him a witness. Especially it relates to namaz, or it relates to Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't want you to make him a witness. When it relates to Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't want you to make him a witness. Therefore, see, when the azan is called, he runs away. Why? Because he will have to give witness on your behalf in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. He hates to do it. So he runs away, he runs so fast, mad, like a mad thing he runs, that he breaks wind in the process. Pato pato nikri jaye. He can't help it. He runs away. Wallahu zuratun. See that? So he doesn't want you to make him a witness in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So now this person here, he planned it out. We also understand that jinnat and shaitan, they don't know what's concealed in your heart. He already worked it out. I'm going to get shaitan, I'm going to ask this question. He worked it out. So shaitan couldn't perceive it. He couldn't perceive it. So he says, I'm making a witness from today till the day I die. I will never neglect my namaz and I'll be very careful of my tongue. So shaitan said, hey, I missed it today. I lost today. If I lost it today. Because no human being ever deceived me. You're the first person that deceived me. So, in future, I will never divulge my secret to anybody. But the cat is out of the bag already. What? What's left? In this day and age, the main avenues that we need to take care of is eyes and tongue. I would say the tongue is even more important, but you cannot say that the eyes is any less important. Eyes is important, but the tongue is even more important. It's so important. That tongue, if you're not careful, it indulges you in so many gunas. Sometimes I think about it, sometimes it can amount to about 20 gunas, just the misuse of the tongue. Lies, right? Sometimes wrong exaggeration, right? Sometimes it's backbiting. Sometimes it's gossiping, right? Sometimes it's swearing, right? Right? Sometimes it's ridiculing, right? Sometimes it's despising someone. Now, all these things relate to what? To the tongue. And misuse of the tongue, sometimes you just lose a fortune. Overnight, you lose a fortune. A great, great fortune, and misuse of the tongue, and just lost it. One buzurg, he lost performing tahajjud for approximately 6 months. Great buzurg, I don't mention his name, very great buzurg. But for 6 months, he couldn't get his tahajjud. So he begged Allah, Allah, you know, I've been blessed with tahajjud for all these years, 40 years of my life. Now 6 months is going and I can't. Say, at so and so occasion, you must use the tongue and you didn't correct yourself still. You haven't yet corrected yourself. So, ye uska is gunaka padash. This is a consequence of that wrong. See, the consequence of the. You're catching it now. You must use the tongue. Now, we just use it and say, this person, he said this and gossip about that person. We don't verify information. Again, that's a guna. You know, you heard some information. We didn't verify that information. We just took it on. Here, say, this person said it, we heard it, and we just took it on. And then we after that, then we make a propaganda of that news. We didn't verify it. Have we verified it? We haven't verified it. How important is news? Any information, news, how important? Talking of shaitan, so Idris Sahib Kandrili Rahmatullah, he says that the difference between insan and jinnat, one of the main differences, is insan, Allah Pak has made quwwat al-aql ghalib. What? In insan, the faculty of intelligence is supreme, right? Supreme. What is supreme in you? The faculty of reasoning, intelligence. So you say 2 + 2 = 4. Right? Don't you say that? Therefore, 4 - 2 = 2. So you will work like that, right? So what is dominant in you? The faculty of brains and intellect. And faculty of brains and intellect is very high. Sometimes you can't break it. Like I say, 1 + 1 = 2. Can you break that argument? Can't break that argument. Right. But now, in insan, the faculty of intelligence, understanding, is ghalib, right? But in jinnat, kana min al jinn, shaitan is also from the jinnat, right? Kana min al jinn, fafasaqan amr rabbi. So, what is ghalib in him? The thing that is ghalib in the shaitan is quwwat khiyaliya. Khiyaliya means imagination. Quwwat khiyal. So in insan, the faculty that is dominant is intelligence, understanding, reasoning, power of being able to see things correctly. Right? And in the shaitan, the quwwat, the faculty that is dominant is quwwat khiyal, imagination. Now ask you randomly, what is stronger? What is more powerful? The quwwat al-aql or quwwat al-khiyal? See? One is imagination. That's one power, right? And one is aql, brains, intelligence and reasoning. What is supposed to be greater? Aql, right? That's supposed to be greater, right? Unfortunately in him, the Quwwat-e Khiyal is greater, is ghalib, that's dominant. So when it's dominant, what happens to shaitan is, or jinnat, what happens to them is that when the khiyal takes them to us on a certain line, the khiyal, the imagination takes them in a certain line, then they are convinced about it. Understand? They are certain about it. It's the khiyal that took them on a certain line. So they say, no, it is like this. Like how we say 2 plus 2 is 4. Aren't you certain about it? Do you dispute it? You won't dispute it. So similar is their faculty of khiyal. When the khiyal takes them on a certain direction, then they're convinced about it. Now, it's a blessing that Allah Pak didn't make that in us. Because the whole world would have been disaster. The whole world would have been in disaster. Now you'll ask me how. You may ask me how. So I'll tell you like this. Give you a simple example, right? Two examples I'll give you. You go to a shop, right? So your khiyal takes you in a direction that this person is stealing. And now your faculty is working such that the khiyal is dominant. Your khiyal is like certain. What you'll do with him? What you'll do to him? He robbed you, say your khiyal takes you that he robbed you for 20 million. What you'll do to him? Only fine, that's all. 20 million. Why? Only that's all. Huh? What do? You try your best to recover your money, isn't it? Lock wo kahe ke maine chori nahi ki, but your khyal is ghalib. What you'll do now? Huh? You will take the money away because your khyal is ghalib on you. And your khyal is ghalib, so you want your money back from him. You say, no, you stole it. You stole it. Bring the money back. Because on the human side, the intellect is ghalib. When the intellect is ghalib, you make a claim against him, then it's ordered to prove, substantiate. And here the khiyal is ghalib. When the khiyal is ghalib, right, when the imagination is ghalib, then that is taken as a fact. When it's taken as a fact now, no ways, you have to pay me back. You have to pay me back. No ways, you have to pay me. See how it works. So that's why I say, it's a blessing that Allah kept the quwwat-e khiyal ghalib in us, quwwat-e aql ghalib, not the quwwat-e khiyal. See, what a blessing it is. That is why, when we were studying in Deoband, you know, so Muzaffar Nagar is near Deoband. So one person claimed that he's got some taluk with the jinnat. So he used to take on one tabloid. I can't remember the name of that. At that time, I saw that thing once or twice. And he said, no, I got a personal taluk with jinnat and all that. Not only the jinnat, with the Sultanul Ajinna. That's the word he used. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah had to see the whole correspondence. The word that you use, Sultanul Ajinna, that is wrong. You're saying that he was the king of all the jinnah, that's what you're meaning. But the choice of your word is wrong. Why? Because ajinnah is a plural of jinnah, and janin. What? Ajinnah is plural of janin. And janin refers to the fetus. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Now see, Ustav had the quwwat-e aql. And he flawed him down straight. Shot him down straight. وَعَالَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَاكُمْ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. That was the first argument Ustav used against him. And the second thing he said to him, that you see, you're going to be transmitting hadith, etc., on the authority of some jinnat that you know of, right? Up to this day, all the six books of hadith don't have a single report on the authority of a jinn. Show me one from the six authentic kitabs, one hadith that is reported, transmitted to this day on the authority of a jinn. No, not was. Why? Because there's no way to prove the truth of, to prove their credentials. Is there any way to prove it? Anyway. Like someone said, all right, Mullah Ruwayd is a very good person. Right. So, I got the tools to go and examine him, to go and check him, see him out, understand him. I got the tools to do it. But now he's saying, I reported this hadith from a jinn. Is there any way to go and verify the information? Anyway. There's no way to verify the information. So because there's no way to verify, you can't make jarh and ta'dil. Therefore, you don't take it from there. We digress from our topic. What we're talking of is that how does the shaitan befriend you? One is, يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ, and those that make shirk. Right? One is now shirk, haqiqatan, right? Actual shirk. That is, you know, ascribing partners to Allah Ta'ala, that is shirk jali. But there can be a thing like shirk khafi. Shirk khafi will be, your nazar has turned away from Allah Ta'ala to that. Shirk khafi. It's discreet. See, like I said, tawakkul, right? So your nazar is Allah Ta'ala only, He is the doer. But if your nazar is Allah Ba can do, but He can do also, then you will not say he's a mushrik, but it's contaminated with some level of shirk, some contamination. So this is how shaitan becomes your friend. Now, if you want shaitan not to come close to you, then don't befriend him. Don't do anything that will curry favor with him. Number two is, don't ever allow your nazar to turn you from Allah Ta'ala to anything else. So now, you have saved yourself. So you have guarded yourself, you have saved yourself, you have secured yourself from the clutches of shaitan. Allah Akbar.